Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
You want to talk about a heartbreaking loss? There is one for the Pittsburgh Penguins as the Tampa Bay Lightning win Game 5 with Shawn Michaels, the original HBK, in the house in attendance at Pittsburgh Consul Energy Center. He had an HBK sandwich from Manning Brothers, and Brett Kiesel went to the game and got wild. Garrett Cole wore an Ian Cole jersey and was double-fisting some Miller Lite tall boys. Didn't matter. Penguins lose in overtime as Tampa Bay gets a 4-3 overtime win to take a 3-2 lead in this best-of-seven series here in the NHL Eastern Conference Finals. Lightning now looking to close it out in six games, despite not having Steven Stamkos in this series, which is really getting kind of swept under the rug, but they have not had their best player and right now have a 3-2 series lead. That would give them back-to-back trips to the Stanley Cup Finals and their third appearance in franchise history, looking for their second cup and the first for many of these players. What went wrong for Pittsburgh? What went right for Tampa Bay? All that and so much more. We might even get to some Wilkes-Barre Scranton hockey with our WBS insider who's been on these post-game shows in the past. That is Jeff Fermanchin, who will join me in a matter of moments. I am your host, Mike Osti, and this is Pens Initiative's Radio PI's Game 5 of the NHL Eastern Conference Finals post-game show, brought to you by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com. The Pittsburgh Penguins almost were delivering some sweet chin music of their own on the ice, or at least it appeared that way for a good portion of the game, especially despite Tampa Bay flying and swarming all over the ice in the first period. The Penguins got a late goal. What, a couple seconds until that period closed, the Penguins scored? That's a devastating, that's a heartbreaking goal, to use the Shawn Michaels adage for the heartbreak kid. They then would score late in the second period. Again, a heartbreaking goal. Momentum all with Pittsburgh. And even as Tampa Bay scored some late tallies and got back in the game, even when it was 3-2 in the final 5 minutes and Fleury a little bit off his game, allowing some more rebounds, still kind of felt confidence in Pittsburgh winning this game and holding on. Granted, the Penguins have struggled to close out games, at least in regulation in these playoffs. They've been able to win overtime games, whether it be against Washington or even Tampa Bay in this series, but they've struggled to give up some leads, whether it be by one or two goals, even three, in a third period, which forced them to get to overtime and then get the win. And when you're in overtime, does not matter the talent, does not matter the depth, does not matter the momentum or what's going on with the hockey gods or Shawn Michaels at your arena. Anyone can win any given night. And the Penguins don't win this one as they lose. For anyone who didn't watch, I'm not sure why you would listen to this if you didn't watch, but for anyone who didn't watch and you're just tuning in and somehow not checking your phone or any piece of the internet and you're getting your score from me, as asinine as that would be, Penguins lose this one and now trail in the series 3-2, losing this game 5-4-3. Marc-Andre Fleury, 4 goals allowed on 25 shots. How do you evaluate his game 5 performance? His first start in months, first start of these playoffs, came in relief for Matt Murray in this series. Matt Murray got into a 2-2 tie but allowed 4 goals in a game. Fan base kind of turned on him. Media kind of was turning on him. And Mike Sullivan went with Marc-Andre Fleury, the Stanley Cup winning goaltender, the guy that's led you to 2 Cup Finals, even at that time, maybe with before he became an elite goaltender. Once he became elite, this team got so good around him. You like to see him be able to have his elite level with the team's elite level like they were playing. They were all excited to see him, and he started off with some confidence in playing well. Even Matt Murray looked happy for him. And then it all kind of went down the tubes. You were scared that he could have the rust in a first game back, maybe why it should have been in game one of the series. Granted, it was not, so you moved past that. And that rust was shaken off, unfortunately, in a third period and then overtime, where he allowed those quick goals, allowed Tampa Bay to tie this thing, and then allowed Tampa Bay to get the game winner very, very early, as I barely had this thing queued up, in that overtime. Looked down, checked my phone, started to get the postgame show here queued up, and saw the Lightning celebrating and Marc-Andre Fleury skating off with his head held low. Not a sight you want to see if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. Now, Jeremy Roenick and Mike Milbury are spewing whatever they're going to spew here in the NBC's postgame show. We're going to give you our edition. This is Radio PI's Game 5 postgame show, Eastern Conference Finals. I'm Mike Ostie, and I will now bring on Jeff Fromanchin, our Wilkes-Barre Scranton insider here at PensMinuteShip.com. Been on these postgame shows before. Jeff, before we get into the game, it's been a while since you've been on. How's your life recently? Didn't you go on a trip or something? How are things going for you?
It's been interesting. Last couple of days for me. My fiance's sister went into labor late last week, and we took a trip down to the southern tip of Maryland, below D.C. It's the La Plata area, and she gave birth to a baby boy. So I'll be married this October, and I'm a proud new uncle, so exciting times.
All right, well, the Penguins didn't win, so normally, since this is for the Pittsburgh Penguin fan base, and this is the PenguinsNation.com, normally would take a somber note, but since you're going to be an uncle, and you're engaged to be married, and I'll give you my edition of a congratulations here on the air. He was at the game. He's the namesake for the Penguins line that's been clicking on all cylinders throughout these playoffs, the HBK line, the original HBK that is Shawn Michaels, was in Pittsburgh, went to Permane's, went to the game. We got to give him his due as well as a congrats to you. So here it is.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move. That really move them. I said, Sheila, up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk, they hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. It's your hard-eyed girl. Hands off the merchandise. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls.
All right, we'll leave that in the background, as I just can't speak enough on how cool it is to have Shawn Michaels' involvement with the Pittsburgh Penguins in this playoff run.
Got his own jersey there. Kid. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I put that on the show the last few programs once the HBK line was really becoming a firestorm. But even in a loss, we'll play it. Those were wins. But even in a loss, we'll play it for Shawn Michaels. Not only his first Pittsburgh Penguin game and trip to Pittsburgh for a hockey game, but first hockey game in general, the first NHL hockey game, and it becomes a Game 5 critical game and a Stanley Cup playoff game where you're the guest of honor and you got a sandwich named after yourself. It doesn't get much better than that for the legend that is Shawn Michaels. The legendary line that was the HBK line played well, but wasn't enough to take over this game, even with him there. Jeff, the Lightning started off like almost they had their legendary fan in attendance. The pro wrestling, I guess, equivalent for Lightning fan could be Hulk Hogan, whatever you would think of that. So it's almost like they had Hulk Hogan in attendance. They're in Tampa Bay. He's flexing. They got sandwiches for him, and they're all excited and crazy because they start off this game flying and swarming and all kinds of momentum for Tampa Bay. But they didn't score any goals. The Penguins were outplayed in that first period, but got a goal late in the period, as late as possible. They had momentum going into the second, more of an even keel game, and then the Penguins once again score late, and they have the lead most of the game. They hold the lead all the way through 90% of the game, and you figure, okay, Tampa Bay is going to come back, but the Pens will still hold it, and they were able to stabilize and get momentum-killing goals and heartbreaking tallies and get the puck in the net when they need to. But all of a sudden, you go to the bathroom, come back, and Tampa Bay is again flying, and they're again too much for the Penguins. And Fleury looked a little bit off his game. They get some late goals. Then they win it so quickly in overtime. What do you make of this game? Because this almost feels like a game Tampa Bay stole.
It absolutely does. I mean, like you said, they came out flying and weren't able to get on the board. And when Dumoulin, you know, scores there with a second left, and Hornquist comes out early in the second, 2-0, I'm thinking, okay, Tampa had their 20 minutes. You know, they put on their pressure and they come out of it down 2-0. I'm like, the Penguins are gonna, you know, wrap this one up at some point. I was sure that Tampa would make a push, but I just figured, you know, Pittsburgh was in the driver's seat and would have at least a chance to win it in Game 6 down there, and then you know, if need be, a Game 7 at home. But you know, I've been wrong. I was wrong about the Lightning before this series, and they continue to just absolutely impress me. That team just has no quit. They've got great coaching with John Cooper, and you know, really just skill up and down the lineup. That's hard to contain. And you know, I'm looking at my box score here, and I can't believe that Chris Letang is a minus four. I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around what's happening in this series, but. You know, when I was watching Game 4 the other night down in Maryland, I just got some bad feelings. Things were just kind of getting away. Then Daly gets injured. And, you know, then they come out tonight. They start. They're up 2-0. And, you know, quickly the bad thoughts go away. But then Tampa Bay just shows you, you know, it wasn't a fluke where they were last year. And, you know, it's amazing. They're doing it without their number one goaltender and the captain. So, you know, not that the Penguins aren't banged up. You know, they certainly are. But, Tampa Bay just keeps on overcoming things, and it's very impressive.
I think that is really being swept under the rug, and I even said that in my lead into this show. They're doing this. They have a 3-2 series lead with an opportunity to clinch the Eastern Conference again, back-to-back years, on home ice. Yes, Ben Bishop's missed some games this series, but he was at least there in the first and second round standing on his head. And he might come back. There are rumors that he might come back. Now, do you start him? That'll be their own goalie controversy that they got going on theirs, and we'll get to Pittsburgh later. But the Lightning have the series lead, are one game away from going back to the Stanley Cup final without their sensational all-star superstar player in Steven Stamkos, who hasn't played at all these playoffs, including at the end of the regular season, a guy who probably, despite his practicing and posturing, I highly doubt is going to play at all in these playoffs, even if they would go play for the cup again. And he is the equivalent to a Crosby or Malkin, even a Kessel for Pittsburgh, where he is that game changer breakout star that has individual awards, that has led a team through a series before, is a guy who's about to go into the offseason and get some cash money, looking to cash in on some teams in the offseason. So I don't know how this will affect him there, and we talked about that on past shows, but Steven Stamkos is the guy for them, their best player. You can't even argue it. His youth, his talent, everything he brings to the table, and they're doing this without him. Now, I put Nick in a corner a couple shows back where I basically asked him up front, and that was when the Penguins had momentum and were leading the series and seemingly everything was going Pittsburgh. I basically asked Nick up front that even with everything going so well for Pittsburgh then, if the Tampa Bay Lightning had Steven Stamkos, would you then pivot and pick Tampa Bay and say Tampa Bay was going to win this series because it had still been relatively even with both teams dealing with some hiccups. And Nick, after a few breaths, and looks like I felt like he coughed and he didn't want to answer me, but he tiptoed around it. And then he basically said that, yeah, he would have to go with Tampa Bay if Steven Stamkos was there because everything was even without Stamkos. That was before Daly's injury, but he then would go Tampa. And now, 3-2 lead, with everything that's gone on, without Stamkos, Jeff, can you imagine this series with Stamkos? I mean, would this already be over? This is just phenomenal what they're doing without Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be over if Stamkos is playing. You mentioned it. I mean, he's as good of a player as we have in this league, and especially as good of a true goal scorer. You know, he can do it in all different ways. He's their leader. He's their go-to guy. I have to think if he's playing, it might very well be over, and if not, I would think Game 6, I would be leaning heavily towards Tampa Bay. Now, without him, I still have hope. I think the Penguins can still get this thing done. But with Steven Stamkos, in my mind at this point, from what I've seen, no question, I would say it could already be over, and if not, it would be in Game 6. Coming into this series, you know, we previewed this series, you and I, and I said Pittsburgh in 5 games. I just thought, you know, their depth would be too much and their speed would be too much for the big, strong Tampa Bay defensemen. But, you know, they've proved me wrong in every single way. They've been the more deep team. Their big, strong defense have just kind of bullied the Penguins forwards at times. And I'm shocked at how much they chip in offensively, their D-core. They're really, really a talented group. And, you know, if you would have told me Kunitz was going to produce the way he has, you know, and they were going to get some secondary scoring the way they have, I would think this series would be over, you know, done. I would think Pittsburgh's moving on to the Cup, waiting on a good battle out west. But, you know, they're not getting it done for whatever reason, and Tampa's just delivering blow after blow. You know, Pittsburgh has responded. It's not like they're getting blown out of the series, but to me, Tampa just, they keep answering the bell, and they keep answering the bell, and Pittsburgh's got to, you know, they've just been mediocre. They haven't found their best level yet. I think if they get there, I think they win the next 2 games. But average isn't good enough to win this series. Tampa Bay was overlooked by me and a lot of other people. They've proven it. You've got to be at your best to beat this team. And it's up to Sullivan and Crosby, Malkin, the leaders to get there.
I'll say this. I'll be honest. I thought without Steven Stamkos and Hedman back then and the few other players they were missing that they wouldn't even get by the Detroit Red Wings. And that's a Red Wing team that's had some fading stars and some youth with Dylan Larkin. But there's a lot of question marks around the Red Wings, and they basically took them to the house and mopped the floor with Detroit and did the same thing in New York and now are a game away from eliminating the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I've been proven wrong as well with Tampa Bay, and I think many others
have.
Yeah, I
think Detroit as well.
And you get so many people throughout this game in particular, because this is the Game 5 post-game show. So throughout this game in particular, I saw on Twitter, I even saw the NBC crew. And say what you want about them, but I even saw the NBC crew saying that such resiliency and commending the Pittsburgh Penguins for, despite the Lightning starting off hot and starting off swarming and flying over the ice and with their momentum, that Pittsburgh was able to brush the shoulders off and say, no, don't worry about it. We're going to get critical goals, the heartbreaking goals, when we have to, late in periods, and that's going to lead us to winning games. Even if we're not the better team throughout the whole game, we're so talented, we're going to take over when we can, and that's going to lead us to win. And they were getting praise for that. But to be the naysayer and devil's advocate, I'd like to do here, I'm going to flip that, and being in a Penguin loss, so this is justice to flip it, that mentality and that strategy, Jeff, is going to be why the Penguins could lose this series and not be a Stanley Cup champion when all signs point, based on the landscape and how well they were playing, that they should win the Cup. They were the favorite, especially going into these Final Four, because you don't want to say, I'll let a team outplay me through the game, and then I'll just pick it up because of my talent in the final 5 minutes or in the middle of a period. And even Cooper saying there in his intermission, right before intermission with Pierre, that, hey, we only were playing poorly for a minute 32. Otherwise, we were the better team. And yes, we're down 2-0, but that's not a problem for us because we only lost a minute 32 of that action. Everyone snickered at it, but they eventually came back and now have won the game. The team who's usually playing better through most of the game, the cream will rise and they'll eventually get the win. You don't want to just have to take over for a minute 32 to get the victory. The Penguins are playing risky hockey. As you said, they have Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, that HBK line clicking. Even when Murray was there, and now with Marc-Andre Fleury, who, yes, a little bit rusty, and Chris Letang, how well he's played throughout the playoffs at the Conn Smythe level, they have talent. They have so much talent. They have them on paper. They're prohibitively the Stanley Cup champion based on these Final Four, if not all through the playoffs. But all of these guys have not played really well and at their best all together on the same night. We've seen Malkin take over a couple games in the first round, Crosby little bit later, but a roller coaster ride. We saw Castle play so well through most of these playoffs and even in this series, but not all of them together. And you're still waiting for, if they all can finally dominate and play what they're supposed to be together, the Penguins would just destroy everybody. Maybe we're never going to see that, because this of I'll let you outplay me and then I'll do it for a period or I'll do it for a minute or so and then I'll still get the win, even without their best player in Stamkos, it's just not going to work against this Lightning team. And Penguins do that in Game 6, they're going to probably lose.
Yeah, no question. I agree with you 100%. I don't ever, you know, no matter what sport we're talking, I don't ever buy that flip the switch, you know, we're the better team at the end of the day. I just, you know, I think if you want to win championships, you got to be the better team. For the majority of a game, you've got to be the better team. You're not going to win four series by accident. You're not going to win four series by scoring timely goals. You know, yeah, you have to get the timely goals, but you get them by being the better team, outworking somebody. And to me, I know that was the big narrative tonight, like you said, on NBC, and, you know, I'm on Twitter, and you see everybody saying all the Pens score the big back-breaking goals. But to me, Tampa's the team that keeps answering and keeps scoring the big ones. You know, they come back and they tie that game at two, you know, and then they give up the third one, and you think, man, that's gotta be it. This team cannot have enough gas left in the tank. Come back in Pittsburgh, beat a team that had not lost when leading in the third period all year going in. Sure enough, tonight's tonight, you know, and this Lightning team's the one that gets it done. And, you know, I don't know why we haven't seen everybody at their best on a given night. And, you know, I'm waiting for it. Like you said, I can't pinpoint why it's happening. You know, in the playoffs, you get to this point, everybody has a shutdown pair, shutdown line. But to me, I just can't figure out, okay, if they're taking away Crosby, why isn't Malkin and the HBK line going? Or why isn't they're taking away Malkin, why isn't Crosby in the HBK line going? I can't wrap my mind around it. And I don't want to rely on injury. They're not telling me anybody's hurt, so I'm not going to buy that. You know, I obviously don't think it's lackadaisical. I don't think they're not playing hard. I just think there's lack of execution right now.
I mean, it's almost funny. It really is almost funny. You cannot get, with all the talent on this team, you cannot get everyone to play well the same game. It's ridiculous.
Can you imagine what it would look like? You know, can you imagine what it would look like for 60 minutes of just throwing the line out? They wouldn't even have to worry about matchups. You know what I mean? Just get them out there and roll them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream. And I tell you, he's up for General Manager of the Year, and people hate on him when he got the job, despite his success with Carolina in a smaller market franchise, how they tailed off. And maybe he's not going to be there for long term, but Jim Rutherford did a hell of a job. It was win-now mode, and he brought these horses in to win. Now this team is a championship-caliber team, and even similar to some playoff failures of the last 5 years before Shearer was dismissed, I would say a loss here in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's hard-pressed to be blaming this on Jim Rutherford and doing any heel turn on him. That would just be completely ludicrous and asinine. He's put this team together. This team should win based on paper in comparison to St. Louis, San Jose, and even Tampa Bay, with the injury to Steven Stamkos and now Ben Bishop. You look at all four of those teams, you could argue Tampa, but without Stamkos, you got to go Penguins in terms of depth in the roster. On paper, they should win. They had a lead in this series. They now lost back-to-back games in which they really got blown out in Game 4 to get here. And then in Game 5, Tampa Bay kind of steals this one, but still gets the win, now getting one in overtime like the Penguins have had. So it's a heartbreaking loss. Now is this loss so heartbreaking that you're concerned it's going to carry over to Game 6? Before we get the goaltenders and any of those matchups, are you concerned that if you're the coach, or I mean, I'm not necessarily a guy that rides momentum that much. For example, I got people telling me, and in a podcast I do, my co-host keeps harping that Kirk Gibson's game-winning home run in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series single-handedly won those four games and won that World Series. I don't like to do that because it's one game.
No.
And you're a great team. You got to be able to pick it up, and you can't just say, well, this guy hit a home run I wasn't expecting, so all of a sudden we're quitting in three other games. That's just ridiculous for me. But if you do believe in momentum and there is any type of momentum that carries over game to game, this wouldn't be the kind of momentum you'd want. Are you worried about this carrying over, Tampa Bay going home winning this way, overtime, now a series lead to go back to the Cup final? Are you concerned this could be an issue?
I'm with you. I don't think that the momentum is the concern. I think, you know, they've got plenty of guys who have been through this before. They're going to be able to put this behind them. My concern for Game 6 is the Lightning being on home ice with the last change, and you know they're smelling blood in the water. And, you know, I think win Game 6, you've obviously got a slight advantage, although anything can happen in Game 7. But I think you're going to see the Lightning at their best in Game 6. And if the Penguins can't get to their best, I think this thing's over, but not for momentum reasons. You know, like you said, that Kirk Gibson, that's obviously a big lift, but it doesn't – you can't blame three more games on that, you know. So if you're Crosby, you're Malkin, you're Mike Sullivan, Rick Tocchet's been there. These guys are going to put it behind them. You know, they're going to make sure that they're ready to go for Game 6, isolate that game, you know, win each period, and you're coming home with a shot at a Game 7 to go play for the Cup. You know, at the beginning of the year, we'll take it. You know, at Christmas time, anybody would have taken this scenario. So just go win a game down there. It's not going to be easy. Obviously, good starts. I mean, that's the key. Tampa's been really coming out of the gates firing the last few games. Penguins got to find their desperation. I almost feel like watching them. It's like they're feeling their swagger now. You know, they feel like they're that good that they're just going to find it, flip that switch, like you mentioned. I want to see them come out with desperation, you know, come out flying around, be the more physical team, be the smarter team, and play the way they did to get here. You know, they beat the best team in the league to get here. You know, whatever Washington's past struggles, they were what they were. I think that Washington team was very, very good. You and I had talked about it. They beat the best team in the league to get here. Go play one game in Game 6, and then I love their chances in Game 7. But this Lightning team, I cannot get over just how good this team really is without Steven Stamkos. And when I saw Ben Bishop go down in Game 1, even though they're winning Game 1, I'm thinking, oh, my, you know, this series ain't going very long. This is huge for the Penguins. They're going to get the rest and watch those teams battle out west. But, yeah, I'm worried about Game 6 because Tampa has the home ice, but I'm not worried about the momentum. I think the Penguins will be able to put that behind them.
Well, what do they say? To be the best, you got to beat the best. Woo for Ric Flair. That one of my favorite Shawn Michaels moments, by the way, was that WrestleMania when he said, "I love you" to Ric Flair before giving him the Sweet Chin Music and then getting the win to, at the time, retire Ric Flair, who then later wrestled after that. But that's just Ric Flair being Ric Flair. The Penguins, yeah, it's seemingly almost they're skating around thinking they can flip that switch, and they're so talented and so deep, and they had been playing so well and were so hot, and being at home with everything going on with Shawn Michaels, they probably could flip the switch and maybe get a win, and they almost did, but the Lightning were able to steal one from them. And in comparison from this year to Washington and how good Washington was, like Tampa Bay, these are two good teams you're facing, felt like the Penguins were more desperate, and they were flying more, and they had more energy and more tenacity, and even more motivated in that series to get rid of the Capitals, and they felt more desperate. That's the phrase. They don't look desperate in this game, at least, in Game 5 of this Eastern Conference Finals, where now they're down 3-2 after losing. They came off in this game, in the immediate reaction we're giving you here, so this is immediate reaction. We don't got 24 hours to simmer. They basically came off to me as a team comfortable, feeling like they're really, really good and they're going to win the game. They want to win the game, but not desperate because they have the 3-2 series lead and then this Game 7's at home and they feel like, okay, we can get it. They're not desperate. Tampa Bay came off desperate from the jump. Even when they were trailing, they were always flying. They came off desperate, and they ended up getting a desperation victory and stealing one. And look who's on the line. This is another streak we got going, his Cowherd streak of his own, as – we got our favorite caller. He's been our only caller for the postgame show because we weren't going to open up the lines. I honestly say this. It wasn't just we can't get other callers. We have other callers on this line, but I didn't take any other callers. And in the past years, we've done callers in the postgame shows, but I put it to bed this year for many reasons. We weren't going to take callers, but Bryce from Brooklyn was on the line in one of the postgame shows, took a chance. Nick and I threw him on there. We threw the dice, gambled. He brought us some radio gold. We kept putting him on the line when he called in. I kind of got his number memorized, so I believe this is him again with 347. This is Bryce from Brooklyn. He's calling into the Game 5 Radio PI Pens Initiative postgame show, and I'm going to lead him in with from Notorious B.I.G. This man's from Brooklyn, or in Brooklyn at least, so this makes sense.
Yeah.
Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, it's the head right, Biggie there, and yeah, night. Papa been fooled since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us.
All right, my man. What's going on?
Yo, you got it right again, man. You guys are like prophets. What's going on?
How's it going, Bryce?
Hey, I guess it could be going better after tonight, right? 53 seconds was it in overtime? Oh, brutal, just brutal.
that was rough. We're happy to have you calling though, Bryce from Brooklyn. I'm cheating a little bit though because I got your number memorized there from being on the soundboard. So I do now know what you have for three shows, but you gave us three shows, so we got to give you the biggie. The bump here as your
I love it.
Head played in the background for you. So we'll get a happy tone. We played Shawn Michaels music, even though it was a loss. We're playing some Diggy regardless. But I already got it from Jeff and myself. We've both been on the airwaves here. What is your take on this one? The Penguins it lose in overtime. They're now down 3-2 in the series. It feels like have they stole one. And how concerned are you now going to Tampa Bay, trailing in this series despite not having all their horses?
Well, guys, I mean, I'm not going to stay on too long because I guess to answer your question and give my only thought is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be, I guess coming from a novice, you know, with novice eyes, the past two games, I just don't think the goaltending's just been so shaky at the wrong possible time. I mean, you want your goaltending right now, to me, to just be really on the upswing where they're shutting it down and just really frustrating the other team. But I don't know. It's like Fleury and Murray are just seeming to getting shaky at the wrong time, and it's just such bad timing. So that's like we really needed those guys the past two games to just really shut it down, take control of the series, and they just haven't done it. They've been shaky enough where Tampa Bay's a really good team, as we said before, and they've been able to just stick around and then use their speed and continue to play hard and gut it out. And everything I heard you guys saying on the phone seems to be true as well. So that's not a good omen for us going into game six. Still confident, but not a good omen.
Yeah, not a good omen at all. And Bryce, you said you got to get out of here quicker. So I'll just ask you one thing, and then Jeff and I guess I'll give our hot takes on this. You see what went on here in game five. You lose, you give up the quick overtime goal, you give up some late goals. They were rebound goals. Fleury's a former cup champion, a veteran goaltender for you that's been around for 300-plus wins. But he shook some rust off. Matt Murray led you to this point, but also played poorly in the last game that he played, which led to Fleury starting. And I will admit, I thought Fleury should start this game, and it was his team, and he's the better goaltender, but he didn't really play like it. What do you do in a now elimination game in game six? Do you go back to the young kid in Murray? Do you stick with Fleury, your veteran? What the hell do you do here?
Oh man, that's a tough position for the coach to be in.
Right.
You know, I think I'm going to stick with Fleury only because, you know, okay, two reasons. One, if you're a coach, it's time for that private meeting if you haven't already had it with Fleury. You got to remember 2009. It's like, dude, you out Red Wing the Red Wings. You got to dig deep and find that for us. You know, and number two, I use it in the same analogy of LeBron, I don't know if you're NBA, but LeBron James, game six, first title run against the Celtics. You're down, about to go home. We need the stars to be stars. LeBron James was iced out in game six, 45 points. We need Malkin and Crosby to explode. We need an explosion that's going to alleviate any momentum. Hard to get momentum when the stars explode and get you five goals or something combined. Like, we need that. And they got to bring it. We need those two things. I think that's what we need, Fleury and Malkin and Crosby to just explode. But we need Fleury to go back to Game 7, 2009, and he needs to out-Red Wing the Red Wings or out-Lightning the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I love that. Fleury out-Red Wing the Red Wings, and that was a tremendously deep and talented Red Wing team that was a defending cup champion that just beat Flurry. So
amazing.
It's Al Red Wing. That Red Wing team was amazing. And Bryce, you're an NBA guy, and so am I. And can you imagine? I mean, hockey doesn't necessarily get the national attention that NBA does, but can you imagine that the criticism LeBron James gets even when he loses and gives you a triple-double, or games that he doesn't show up in and they lose, and just the criticism he gets all over the place? Could you imagine what Crosby and Malkin would be receiving from, say, a Skip Bayless or somebody if they followed hockey? I mean, my God, they're not showing up enough. They're giving a little bit, but they got to get more. Can you imagine?
Man, they got to. They got to be – it's got to be LeBron in game six. Like, they got to just – their star power has to take over, and they just look, the Lightning have all the momentum, just like the Celtics did. But then guess what happened? The superstar came out and just demoralized them, and that was it. And that's what we need Malkin and Crosby to do. Like, you know, I know it's not basketball, but we need, like, three goals from Crosby, two from Malkin, just unstoppable. Where, I mean, we need that game now, and we need Fleury to go back to 2009 and remember who he is.
Yeah, and even if you don't get that crazy stat and have those guys almost give a hat trick each, you still need a little bit more from him. And Crosby did get the overtime game winner, so he gave something there. But you'd like consistent high level play, even if it's not on the stat sheet. You got to get more from them. Maybe you need that taking over of a game sometime to steal a series when a team's beating you down right now, like Tampa Bay is. Bryce from Brooklyn, we are thrilled to death that you called in again. We're happy you're watching the games. You're still following your Pittsburgh team, even though you relocated to Brooklyn, Biggie's house, and giving us the pro wrestling flavor too. We're all about you calling in. Feel free to keep on calling in for these post game shows. And not only that, but if it's all right with you, do you have I could either contact you off the air, or you could hit me up on Twitter or something. We could send you maybe a T-shirt or something for all you're doing here with Penn Citizenship calling in. So I don't know where you are.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely hit you. Yeah, I'll hit you up on Twitter.
Okay, do you have me on Twitter? Or are you currently following me? I don't even know where you are, man.
Can I find – are you under the PIECF game? Are you under the name of the show, Radio PI?
Well, I'm not personally under that. I mean, I'm sure you can search me and find any of there. My Twitter name is at MikeAsti11, at MikeASTI11.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, sure. I can find you on Twitter and hit you up. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, follow me there. Hit me up. You can also follow at Penn's Initiative, which is the website, and then follow that, and somebody will hit you up somewhere. We'll give you more thanks for calling in. And, yeah, we want to find you more than just the postgame. So I'm just waiting for you to call in to get to talk to Bryce in Brooklyn more. But I love to see you in a sea of buffoons. I'd like to get some more of you. In terms of upping my followers.
A sea of buffoons.
Yeah, that's kind of most of my followers. So I will be happy to have you join the list of normal people who follow me. Yeah, follow me at MikeAsti11 on Twitter so we can get more of these conversations. But thanks for calling in again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's been great. I appreciate the love and thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Bryce.
All right, we'll close them out with some more Biggie love here. Let me do some more Biggie.
Come on. Ha, quicker than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink pink gators. Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn.
That's
dead right, get the head right, Biggie there, and I Papa been fool since day.
All right, not going to let that play too much longer. We got some hockey talk to finish up with. Jeff, Jeff from Anshin of PennsInitiative.com. This is the Game 5 NHL Eastern Conference Finals post-game show. I'm Mike Osti, and that was once again our favorite and only caller of these post-game shows, Bryce from Brooklyn, who calls in.
He's becoming a legend.
He's becoming a legend. He calls in to drop his take, and he admittedly is a casual fan who's learning about the game and watching the game for his hometown team, so he's not necessarily trying to say anybody he's, you know, blowing you away with knowledge, but I think he definitely knows his stuff, and we appreciate his calling in, and we appreciate his fandom to us and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know he's a professional wrestling fan from what he told me on past shows, so Shawn Michaels being there had to be big for him, and then I'm one of those rare guys that can be versatile and can watch all sports, and just because I'm covering hockey and watching hockey does not mean I got to hate on the NBA. So I also actually watched the NBA too, and I saw the Warriors get blown out surprising fashion in their playoff game, and I also saw Draymond Green kick Steve Adams in the ball, so I not get kicked out. So So how fascinating that was, and I wish we could talk about that maybe. But so Bryce from Brooklyn dropping up even the NBA connection. I don't mind that at all. So
just never.
Back to Game 5 and going to Game 6, and I already asked Bryce from Brooklyn, but I will ask you, since you are somebody with the website, I want to get maybe even more of your opinion on this for anybody listening. Flurry started this game. Flurry's been around, you know, ages, 10-plus years, a borderline Hall of Fame resume, 300-plus wins. He's won you a cup before. He finally got to that level the last couple years where even his haters were saying he's now an elite goaltender. He was playing so well, then got hurt, but this team was so good around him. You wanted to see that all come together, and it was very ironic the success Matt Murray was having without him and how good the team was, because you wanted to see that with Flurry, kind of. But you had the hot hand that was Matt Murray, the young kid, 22 years old, winning you a playoff series, winning you another playoff series, and then all of a sudden leading you to a series lead in this one when they were up 2-1, lose the game, they're tied, they go with Flurry, they go back to the veteran now finally healthy who had to sit for a couple games when he was still healthy because Matt Murray was still winning you hockey games. You have the young, formerly red-hot gun that is Matt Murray, who is well exceeded expectations, and kind of playing with house money, and nobody can hate on him even if he does falter, or Marc-Andre Fleury, the veteran, borderline Hall of Famer, former Cup champion that is rusty, hasn't played for a while, gives you one game, but is lackluster in that game and it being a loss. You're going to Game 6, it's an elimination game against the defending conference champion, even though they're without their former starting goaltender and best player, their new goaltender is playing well, and they're really riding high. Murray or Fleury, who do you start in Game 6?
I'll tell you what, I've had a really hard time keeping my emotions out of the goaltending situation that's become here in Pittsburgh. The answer, I'm going back to Matt Murray. Reason being, I personally love the move to go with Fleury in the third period of Game 4. You had to do that. You know, you had to spark the team. I think I would have come back to Murray in Game 5, but I completely understand and support the decision to go with Fleury in Game 5 tonight. If there was a game you're going to do it, you go with him tonight. And now that you saw how he played, I just think I would go back to Matt Murray. I think he's played more lately. He's in more of a zone. You know, it's hard to play goaltender when you've been sitting for pretty much a month or even more. You know, practice is just not the same. I think do or die now, I'm going back to Murray, but at the same time, I'm on the outside of that locker room. If I'm sitting down with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and my leaders, and I'm Mike Sullivan, and my leaders are telling you I want Flower back there, we've been through it together. And, you know, Bryce that dropped like a legendary line there when he out Red Winged the Red Wings in 09. That's perfect. You know, that's classic. So Fleury's done it, and I wouldn't be disappointed to see Fleury get the opportunity because of everything he's done as a Penguin and all the talk that is, you know, Matt Murray's the future. I want Marc-Andre Fleury to get this opportunity and take it and run with it and win that cup. But I think if I'm the head coach and I got to pull this string, do or die at this point, I'm going Matt Murray. So that's my take. I go Murray, but I understand both ways. My heart tells me Fleury, but my hockey mind is telling me go back to Matt Murray. And to answer who I think we see Marc-Andre Fleury in Game 6.
Well, before I wax poetic and give my take here, out of curiosity, who would you have started going into Game 5? Fleury started and lost. Who would you have started?
I would have started Matt Murray. I think it was the right move to go to Fleury at the end of Game 4, you know, spark the team. He really didn't see much action. You know, they were kind of pressing. I think I would have, when I pulled Matt Murray out of the game, when I told him, you know, rest your legs a bit here. We're going right back to in Game 5. But I just think there's so many factors that go into this decision. And it's really been a decision that it's so hard for me to keep my emotions out of it, because I know we talked, you know, weeks back how my heart broke for Fleury. You know, I wanted him to get this opportunity, and he's earned it. So by all means, you know, throw him back in there. He's earned this right. But, you know, I think I would have went back to Murray for Game 5. But I do understand, you know, Fleury went in Game 4. The team responded, so you stay with him. But I think I personally would have went back to Murray.
Yeah, I've waffled on this too. And initially going into the series, I initially wanted to stick with Murray because the hot hand from round two and beating Washington. But as this series progressed, I kind of did move more to Fleury's the better goaltender. I felt more comfortable when I saw some errors in Matt Murray's game with whether the puck went through his glove and things like that, that I wanted to go to Fleury in game five. I thought Fleury starting in game five with Shawn Michaels there. You're going home. Being home, I think, was part of it for me. And the fact that he had just played the previous game, even though it was meaningless minutes, I thought maybe that was the rust he could shake off. He'd ride the wave of excitement from the fans, Shawn Michaels, and being at home, and could do it with the team playing so well around him. And I felt comfortable even early on in the game without so many shots going against him. But now, speaking on the present day, because that's the past and doesn't matter now, going to game six, I am tempted to definitely go back to Matt Murray, and it's because of what I saw in game five. I thought Marc-Andre Fleury is the better goaltender, and certainly his career could dictate that. I don't know if Matt Murray will have a Fleury career, but right now, and you say you don't want to go with you don't want to go with emotion. You don't want to go and give you the emotion because Fleury's been there so long. You don't want to see him necessarily have to watch somebody else lift a cup for his team and be a backup and have that stigma. And you don't want to worry about next offseason because we also talked about on the show that if you start Murray and Murray wins you a cup, then you're going to have awkwardness. How do you have Fleury be your starter next year? You're going to have to then go to Murray. And does Fleury want to be a backup? And Fleury might ask to be traded then because he's only in his early 30s, doesn't want to end his career. And that could really ruin the relationship and whole can of worms in a month and a half. And you'd have to try to trade him and get some market value because the NHL offseason is very short if you go far in the playoffs. It really would have been a horrible scenario for the offseason, even though you would win a Stanley Cup in that hypothetical scenario with Matt Murray starting and winning. And then what do you do with Fleury in the offseason? And I am wondering, and I don't know, and we may never know, that if what led to Marc-Andre Fleury starting in game five and even coming in game four and almost came in earlier but didn't in this series was if Mike Sullivan and the Penguins management had that same thinking in the back of their mind that, okay, Matt Murray's got us this far. We like Matt Murray. He's exceeded expectations. He stood in his head when he needed to, and he's played well. We know that if we don't put Marc-Andre Fleury in at all and we win the cup, we're basically going to have to go with Murray in the future for next season onward. We can't wait a while. We got to go with Matt Murray to start next season. Fleury will be mad. He'll want out. We aren't going to have any time to trade him. Fleury's been here for 10-plus years. He's won a cup with us before. We feel like we owe it to him. Blah, 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 blah. I wonder if any of that played into it, and they almost were waiting for the chance to say, Murray, you know, pat on the rear end. Now we're going to go with Marc-Andre Fleury and have that be okay by the media and fan base, which is kind of the scenario they had going into Game 5, because even the Murray people were a little bit more quiet and were saying, okay, now going home with Shawn Michaels, we can go ahead and put Marc-Andre Fleury in there. We thought momentum would ride it for Marc-Andre Fleury. Now coming off of this loss, those people might have been proven wrong, maybe myself included, and now looks like you got to go back to Matt Murray in Game 6 because this Marc-Andre Fleury is even worse than the worst of Matt Murray we've seen in this series, if that makes sense, and you really can't afford to lose that game at all, even if you believe Fleury is the overall better goaltender still. I'm not sure. I don't really want to mark myself down on which one I'm going with, but I am, as we're speaking here after midnight, on the immediate reaction of Fleury's loss in Game 5. I admittedly wanted to go with Fleury going into Game 5, and I think that was the right call then because hindsight is 20/20, but now I'm leaning back to Murray. But I do want to add, which is why I don't want to mark my opinion down just as a fact yet. I want to have a week to, or I guess a couple of days to process, is because you don't want to waffle goaltenders like this. It's not good to do so.
No.
And I believe that I did see this from a producer, 93.7 The Fan. He had the stat out for us. He was doing some research and was trying to figure out if there ever was a scenario where there's three different goaltenders to start a Stanley Cup playoff run to lead to a Stanley Cup championship, and if two goaltenders ever started six or more games, because if Fleury would have came in, say, this game and then another game, and then you're looking at six starts at minimum if his team wins the Cup, which would at least be four more games. So that would then be at least six starts for Fleury. And he's doing some research, And his research told him, and I haven't fact-checked him, but his research told him that 1938 was the last time three goaltenders led to a cup run, and you had two goaltenders with six-plus wins in a cup run. 1938, so we're well beyond any modern era or any of that. And we've seen teams win cups where you had a goaltender. It even happened to the Penguins, Jeff, in 2008. Dominic Hasek was the starter for the first two games with the Red Wings, and he wasn't playing well in the first round. He was a starter. He wasn't playing well. And then all of a sudden, Osgood gets back in there after they brought Hasek in and basically kind of had that where Osgood was our guy, but we're bringing in a Hall of Famer and we're going to move you to the wayside. All of a sudden, they bring in Osgood. Osgood is able to lead him, and then Osgood eventually won the cup. So you had two goaltenders starting games in your playoff run, but it wasn't this many games for both combined. And it also wasn't like this where the controversy lingered on after the first round. It was definitely Osgood. And the rope wasn't as short, but you got to give Mike Babcock credit in that playoffs. And I remember even saying to myself then, watching that series so heavily, because the Red Wings have always been another one of my favorite teams throughout the years growing up, that he stuck to his gun. He said, look, we're not going to go undefeated. You're going to lose the game and have a bad night. But once we put our guy in through the first round, both these two goaltenders are good. We're going to stick with Osgood and see what happens, and we're not going to give him one period or so as a leash. So it took balls to do that. Sullivan waffling the goaltenders, I don't know if that's going to be a strategy you want either. So I'm not sure, honestly, but I admittedly am leaning towards going back to Murray, but it is definitely a concern to have to keep waffling goaltenders, because what if he he's eliminated, but what if he wins there? Then do you ever see Fleury again in the cup final if they would win that game? Or what if he wins but plays poorly? I guess I'll ask it to you like this so I can shut myself up. You said you go back to Murray. Okay. Yeah. What is Murray's lease? Like, what is his rope in game six? If he has a first period that admittedly is awful, do you then go back to Fleury in period two? Or do you say to yourself, Fleury is a guy I just can't go back to because he gave us a game where he was bad? What is your rope for Murray?
Well, I'm going to say it like this, and I support whatever Mike Sullivan decides to do. I see both sides of the argument. If I'm going back to Matt Murray, I'm putting this to bed right now. I'm tired of this every other day. Who's in that? If I'm going back to Murray, I'm saying he's our guy. We're riding Matt Murray, barring a complete meltdown somewhere down the road, injury, something like that. We're going Matt Murray, and we're going to ride him the rest of the way. I do also understand staying with Fleury, and especially for the reason you said, this flip-flop in goalies is a nightmare. You know, 1938, that's forever ago. You know, we're approaching Chicago Cubs there.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking to Cubbies, but, you know, so
well,
obviously
so,
that doesn't work.
2008 was their last World Series title, so we're still three decades away from them. That's just how funny it's been since they've won.
Right. Crazy. So, I mean, if I stay Fleury, which they very well could, and maybe they should. I'm just, you know, my opinion is Murray and stick with them. But if they go back to Fleury, you stay Fleury. There's no more bouncing back and forth. If you're going with Fleury, then stick with him and make sure the team knows it, make sure the media knows it, because this just can't be good for a goalie's psyche. You know, Matt Murray's been through a lot as a rookie, but he's still a young kid. Like, it can't be easy knowing that if you give up a bad goal, you might just come right out of this game. That's right. Got to be tough. And, I mean, I think you will agree with me when I say this, that coming into this series, I don't care who was in the net. I was fine with if they go Fleury. To me, they should win this damn series no matter who's between those pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, they should win this series, whether it's Marc-Andre Fleury, whether it's Matt Murray. So pick one, mm-hmm. Stay with him, and ride him.
We'll have to check the tape, because I believe I even said that on the same airwaves, if not on other airwaves somewhere, but I believe it was here on Radio PI, that it does not matter. Going into the controversy, coming into this series, if Fleury's healthy, Matt Murray's won you a couple series, who do you go with, blah, blah, blah. I said it then. Look, either one of these two goaltenders, Marc-Andre Fleury, the veteran, Matt Murray, the young kid, playing so well, either one of them should have been enough for you to win this series. You're going against a Lightning team that, while very good and the defending Eastern Conference champion, this is half of the team they had last year when they won the conference, because they're missing their best player in Steven Stamkos, who was all-world for them through that playoff last year, and Ben Bishop, who we later would see get hurt. We didn't know that at the time, but still, you're facing a Lightning team without their Crosby, without their best player in Steven Stamkos. They had a few other injuries as well that were more minor injuries, but they were not 100%. And even though they're at that point, the Penguins were a prohibited favorite for a reason, and they were a favorite regardless of who was the goaltender. And I said then, and you're saying it now, and it holds true, the Penguins being the favorite and everything equal should win this series regardless of Marc-Andre Fleury in net, regardless of Matt Murray in net. Now, obviously, you don't want to see Zach Goff in net, and I don't think you want to see Jeff Mansion or Mike Ostby in net. But if you got Matt Murray or Marc-Andre Fleury, either one of those two should be enough to win you this series, and is now proving that between the two of them, that might not be enough to win you this series, and it might take Tampa Bay having two goaltenders to win them a series as well, because the Husky has played incredibly well in replacing Ben Bishop during his injury, and I don't know if they're talking about that down in Tampa, but Ben Bishop keeps on talking to the media saying, I'm going to come back, I'm close, I'm coming back. I mean, what the hell would you do there? I would imagine that they got their own goalie controversy, but I guess you can't change. I mean, I don't know if you're riding a little bit shorter of a hot hand in Valakia's lost game as well as winning them, and they had to come back in the game. So I would imagine they're going to go back to Ben Bishop, because even though they've won with the backup, it's not as dominating as it was then when the Penguins were winning with Matt Murray and they've had to come back and score four goals a game to get a win. It wasn't like a goaltender was standing on his head by himself, even though he had those type of periods. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but I have not remember a series in the playoffs like this where you've had two goalie controversies in the same series. I mean, this is unbelievable.
No, neither do I.
Neither one of these two teams knows who they want to start if everyone's healthy. So that is unbelievable in and of itself.
You don't know who's going to lead them out for warm-ups. I mean, it's game by game at this point, who's in net. Yeah, every day. I mean, you know, you log on to Twitter, what are they saying today? How's Bishop? You know, is he ready? And, I mean, like you said, Vasilevsky's been so good and just, like, you know, if Ben Bishop 60%, you go Bishop or, you know, are you loyal to Bishop or do you stay with the kid who's on fire? I mean, it's just it's been a bizarre series. It really has. Coming off that Washington series, you know, everybody was feeling so good about this Penguins team, and now it's just like it's kind of turned into the circus here. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. The lineup, the goaltending. On the ice, it's been a crazy series. You know, it's just been, you know, from the hits in game one to now, like, the near comeback in game four tonight, kind of a, you know, Tampa Bay just kind of steals one. It's been wild.
Yeah, and if the Penguins would have won game five in overtime, which they easily could have done, because even when they give up leads and go to overtime, they have been winning those overtime games throughout these playoffs. If they would have won in overtime, we'd have a totally different show and a totally different conversation where we'd be sitting here saying, even though Tampa Bay came back, it was very similar to the game against Washington where the Capitals came back and all the shots on net, but the Penguins still won the game. And by winning that way, you get all kinds of momentum, and then you're going to be able to close it out. But yet, the Penguins don't win in overtime. They finally get humbled in overtime, and Tampa Bay gets the win. So it looks like Tampa Bay has now stolen this game. They now have momentum. They're now going home looking to close it out in game six. And it would have been totally different if the Penguins got that overtime game winner of this one, no matter how it went on. They would have had momentum, and it all would have been for Pittsburgh. And it is bizarre that throughout this series, game by game have been so polarizing and so different in terms of momentum and emotion because, I mean, we didn't do a game four post-game show for some personal reasons for me. We did a game three post-game show, and on that game three post-game show, it was, well, are the Penguins going to wrap this up? Is Tampa Bay done? Have they been killed emotionally? Does it matter who's in net because the Penguins are so good and deep around him? Does it matter if Crosby gets going because they're so deep and stacked around? And we've been talking about that for multiple series, all the way to the Washington series, where we even concluded there with a member of Washington Capital Media, who's CSN Mid-Atlantic, that Crosby didn't have to be at his best for that team to win because they're so deep and good around him. But now we're trailing 3-2 in an Eastern Conference Finals, are the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now we're saying Crosby needs to get going. Crosby can't suck and have them win. They need more from Crosby. Malkin needs to get going. Kessel, who's been so good so far, still needs to give you more. The HBK line needs to get clicking, and maybe you need to change goaltenders again because you need more from your goaltender. It's so crazy that game by game is just so different and so polarizing that you go from thinking, no matter what, the hockey gods got it all in the cards for you, to now, 24, 48 hours later, you're thinking to yourself, maybe it's not destiny. Maybe the Tampa Bay without Stamkos is going to do this.
Yep, and I mean, even like tonight, you know, you mentioned all the bizarre, like, Bo Bennett, this morning I'm on Twitter, he comes out of nowhere, Bo Bennett's going to play. It's like, I can't even remember the last time we talked about Bo Bennett, you know, and then Olimata's back in for Daly. That's a tough injury, obviously, to take. Ole plays his best game of the postseason, I think, hands down. He's been, you know, his struggle has been well documented. Ole hasn't played well. Tonight, I thought he brought it, and, you know, you get a goal from Kunitz again. Crosby had the game two and game three goals. That you're just thinking, like, finally, here he goes, this thing's over, and boom. Like you said, somehow they're down 3-2, they're on the brink, and now it's on Crosby, it's on Malkin, it's on Letang. Letang cannot be a -4. It just can't happen. The power play's got to get going. Like you mentioned earlier, Rutherford has put this team here. They are loaded. Look around. Like you said, the other three teams left. The Penguins are hands down the favorite. This lineup is championship caliber, no question. Now it's on the players. It's on the stars, you know. Maybe in the past they've been unfairly criticized. Maybe some of it's been fair, some hasn't. But right now, if this team doesn't get it done, it's on their stars. That's what we've come to going into Game 6. It's on them.
Yeah, everything pointed to Pittsburgh. Everything they touched turned to gold, and then boom goes the dynamite. The Tampa Bay Lightning steal one and have a lead in the Eastern Conference Finals and are a game away from going back to the Stanley Cup Final, which is still phenomenal to say with what I was saying on the radio here and other places just a few days ago on how much momentum the Penguins had. I think I even said that phrase literally on a radio show I appeared on. Everything the Penguins touched turns to gold, because it was. And everything Mike Sullivan touched did turn to gold up until this game, really, maybe up until game four. But the goal decision could haunt him. Crosby needs to give you more, even though we thought Crosby was going to be jump-started by the game winner in overtime, and then a goal later. Malkin we're still waiting for. Kessel's been so used throughout this playoff with the HBK line. He is the best player on that line, jump-starting that line. I mean, honestly, you don't want to point fingers at anybody, I guess, but if you got to go to one guy, because Crosby's at least giving you a little bit, if the Penguins don't reach the final, you're probably going to look to Malkin, number one, because he's been the worst of that big three throughout this series, at least, and even though he did it earlier in the playoffs, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, Crosby, Kessel, and Malkin. Malkin's been the worst. He's been on the stat sheet the least. You got to get more from him. You got to have – maybe we're waiting for that game for Malkin to take it over. Because you remember in the 09 Cup run, Malkin was the best player. Malkin was taking it over. Malkin was winning the awards. We maybe need to see that from Malkin this year, this go-around. We're still waiting for that in the Conference Finals for Malkin to take over a game. Crosby's had his moment with the overtime game winner. We need to see that from Malkin now. We also need more from Crosby. Absolutely need more from Crosby. He's your captain. You lose this series in six games, you're going to point your fingers at Crosby just like you would anywhere else with any other team's captain. Kessel, it's hard to be too mad. He's kind of given you all he's had so far, except for maybe an off night. And then the goalie decision could haunt you depending on what type of game, whoever you start in game six or game seven if you lose in seven games at home. So you just don't know, but I think everyone should agree, and I'm sure everyone won't, but everyone should agree, and I certainly will say that if the Penguins do not win this series and do not win the Eastern Conference and reach the Stanley Cup Final, and maybe even if they don't win the Cup based on how much of a favorite they are against either of those teams from the West left, nobody's safe in terms of blame. You can point the finger at Crosby, you can go to Malkin, you can even go to Kessel some. You can go to Letang for the -4 despite playing well up until this point. You can go to Murray. You can go to Fleury. You can go to Sullivan. You can go to everybody. There is nobody that will be without blame if the Penguins don't reach a Cup Final, if not lift the trophy, because you look at these Final Four, they're the best on paper. They were playing the best. They were the hottest. They should win, at the very least, should win this series. When you don't have the best player on Tampa Bay, they lose starting goaltender in game one. You have a 2-1 series lead. Even when it's 2-2, you're going home. You have the fanfare. You got Shawn Michaels in the building. My God, it was everything going well for Pittsburgh. And then you lose that game in overtime, letting the team come back. Everything you touch goes from turning to gold to turning to aluminum. And all of a sudden now, you're trailing 3-2, and you're going into an elimination game. If the Penguins don't win this series, everybody is able to be blamed, and Crosby and Malkin probably are the top of that list. Malkin one, then Crosby. That's probably my ranking for Blaine, because you need more from those guys. You can't expect them to do it by themselves, but you need more from them in a playoff series. You just do. Jeff, I want to get – we're going to obviously get your Wilkes-Barre-Scranton update for us for the offseason for them, because you haven't been on the show in a while. We want to get your thoughts. You've been our WBS insider for PensInitiative.com. But before that, how much was Trevor Daley missed tonight? You said Olimata played well, and it was the best game he's played through the playoffs. I do agree with you. But was Trevor Daley missed even so, and will he be missed going forward?
I think he was missed, and I think he will be missed going forward. I don't think it's something that they can't overcome, though. I think Daly's biggest contribution is the kind of person he is. You know, he seems to be a guy who came into this locker room and just gelled right away. And obviously, his game fits what the Penguins are trying to do. He's mobile. He's a puck mover. He's good on the power play. He's great 5-on-5 in the offensive zone too. He jumps into the play at the right time. I think he was missed, but I think that tonight was a game that they should have won, that they put themselves in a position to win even without him. And that even concerns me even more for game six, because I think you got that great game from Mata. And I think, obviously we can't blame Letang for being -4. He plays 30 minutes a night. He's got to be running on fumes at some point. He's not a robot, but I think he will be missed. I personally believe this team's deep enough to get over it, especially, Ian Cole's really, really stepped up, and Lovejoy has been just solid so far this postseason. So I think they can come together and get it done. I think he was missed. I think he's missed more so, like I said, in the locker room, and that's kind of a tough blow. He's such a good guy, and he hasn't had much postseason success in his career. He was at this point, so close to the cup, and I think maybe that's a tough blow for the guys to swallow. But I think they played well on the whole, the decor, and I was kind of interested to see coming into the game if they went Mata or Pouliot. I think Mata turned out to be the right decision, but I think this is a series where Derek Pouliot could have a nice impact. I think the forwards outside of Callahan aren't necessarily overly physical. I think Pouliot's skating ability could be a big factor in this series. I really do, but
Would you have played him over Mata?
I personally would have. I think in this series I would have. In the Washington series, that's not even a question. I go Mata. In terms of the physicality, he's bigger, stronger. But Pouliot, to me, in this series, I think he fills a need for the Penguins in a big way. I think his puck moving ability, the Lightning play that puck side lock in the offensive zone. He's a guy who can move the puck so well and get a good chip and start that 2-on-1 like we saw on the break, early in the game for the second goal. I think Pouliot's mobility and his just offensive instincts, I would have played him. But obviously, I can't argue with the move to play Ole. He did play a great game tonight. But I think Pouliot's offense, I think, could play a big role in this series. I really do.
And that's being lost, too. Mata did play his best game of the playoffs, even though it was in a loss, an overtime loss. And Ian Cole did play well, with Garrett Cole wearing his jersey and also in attendance. And really, it's so much of a bitter taste, because everything was going up roses for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They had all those fans there, all the celebrity fans. They had a Steeler, they had a Pirate, they had a WWE legend and Hall of Famer. They had the home ice, they had the last change, they had the goal lead at the end of the first period, they scored late in the second period, you have a lead, you have a bigger lead, then you let Tampa Bay come back, they get some life, they start to believe in themselves, they get resilient too, they end up getting the victory in overtime on some bad rebounds and bounces, maybe some lofty goals, you don't know. Fleury kind of tailed off there towards the end. I don't know. It's kind of odd. I would have thought Russ would have been shaken off earlier in the game than late, but didn't face that many shots early, despite all the effort in Tampa Bay and how much they were swarming you. So it was one of those nights where everything was going well for the Penguins, even stuff off the ice, that you would have thought that if they somehow or another, even with the roller coaster ride that was the game, if they somehow could have got the win, even if they wanted whether it be late and held on or in overtime, that momentum would have just been so crippling for Tampa Bay, the game six, even on the road, that would have been it, and the Penguins probably would have won it. And if not, you feel real confident about going home, going back home, and then the Penguins winning in seven. But now, losing that way in game five, in overtime, despite playing well, but Tampa Bay coming back and stealing the game from you, and their effort being rewarded with them doing it on the road, that now you're really concerned they're going to win this and cap it off at home as they get more life and more confidence. And if they don't, you're still kind of concerned about them doing it again on the road in game seven, regardless of what type of celebrities at the arena, because even with all that fanfare, it didn't matter. And they now really have confidence they can win on the road. They can come back in a game. They're never out of it. The way they won this game, not only just winning it, but the way they won this game really is a help for Tampa Bay and really a hurt for the Penguins. But granted, it's game by game, and motions don't realistically carry over. I never believed that before, so I believe it now. Jeff, we're going to wrap this up soon and put a bow on this one, but before we do, I wouldn't have you on the show if it was not going to be talking some Wilbur Scranton hockey and going down the minor leagues that also had a playoff run of their own. So give us an update. Give us your thoughts. Maybe your, I guess your season recap and maybe a eulogy of sorts for Wilkes-Barre Scranton and the Baby Pens.
Sure. For everybody, I'm sure you know by now, I've been away, so it's been a week since the Penguins lost in Game 7 at Hershey. Overtime loss. They went the distance. Nobody really thought that team was getting out of the first round. They sweep Providence, and, they take Hershey to the limit in Game 7. I think the biggest thing that I would say about the postseason run is, my goodness, is there some young talent through the pipeline of this organization. I mean, even going down to Wheeling, they're still playing in their Eastern Conference Final. This kid, Jake Gensel, out of Nebraska, Omaha, I mentioned him the last time I was on. He's still only 1 point off the league lead in points in the AHL postseason, and they're couple games into the Conference Final now. He had 14 points in 10 games. The kid... He broke Connor Sherry's ATL playoff points record in Wilkes-Barre. He is super, super quick. He's fearless. I mean, he puts his body in harm's way. He goes to the net. He's had deflection goals, redirection goals, and then he scores huge overtime goals with slick hands he moves. So, I mean, the kid has it all. Super good hockey sense. He was a captain at UNO. The NHL is not far off for him. I personally would put him closer than Sprong, and that's saying a lot, considering Sprong made the team out of camp. That's how good this kid is. Now, Sprong, he came out of juniors, and the AHL people were saying he's not going to make enough of an impact to help Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Well, clearly those people were wrong. I mean, he scored a couple overtime winners in the first round. He was lights out in the power play, but he did at times show some weaknesses in terms of an all-around game. He didn't necessarily like to be physical. And at times he found himself sitting for long stretches. By the end of the Hershey series, he was really only playing on the power play. And, if they were down a goal late. And to give the kid credit, he came through time and time again. So Daniel Sprong was fantastic. And Carter Rowney, who finally got his first NHL deal, in March, they signed him. I really don't know what else I could say about Carter Rowney at this point. From 3 years ago when we first saw him come up from Wheeling, on a tryout, he's just consistently gotten better and better and better. He started as a penalty killer, grinder. Now he's a top-line guy, a leading scorer type guy. He wins faceoffs. He kills penalties. He's great on the power play. He can really, really skate. I think you'll see Carter Rowney in Pittsburgh as soon as next year. I really, really do. He's been just outstanding. As far as the season for Wilkes-Barre, it was really a tale of two seasons. You had the Mike Sullivan Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and then the Clark Donatelli Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And not only did those two teams play differently, they were actual different teams. The rosters were different. The first half of the year, you had the Sherrys, the Wilsons, the Russ, all those guys who have had success in Pittsburgh late in the year here. All those guys were dominating the AHL to start, Matt Murray included. And then the second half of the year, those guys went up, and you had the Rowneys. Obviously, Tom Kostopoulos is the captain. He's still outstanding at his age. Will O'Neill really stepped up. And then, late in the year, it was exciting. Everybody was kind of counting them out, and those kids came out of college and juniors and really sparked them. So it was an exciting year, you know, disappointing in the fact that, you know, they were the best team in the league. They were 25-8. Sullivan leaves, and not just Sullivan, you know, the whole roster kind of changed, and they had to find their way. It took them a while, but come postseason time, they shocked the AHL world, sweeping Providence, and they took the Hershey Bears, who are up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, kind of like the New York Yankees of the AHL, you know, they're always there. They took them down to overtime, you know, in Game 7. You know, they took them as far as you could take them, and frankly, were the better team for that whole Game 7. And just, I said going into that series on this show that I felt like goaltending would be the difference, and it absolutely was. Justin Peters outplayed, whether it was Casey DeSmith or, you know, and that leads me to my main point I wanted to talk about is Tristan Jarry. We talked about goaltending situations in the NHL. We talked about the DeSmith-Jarry, you know, issue going into the Hershey series. They went with DeSmith. DeSmith struggled midway through the series, and they went to Jarry. He played a game at home, Game 4. They tied the series at 2. He made 22 out of 23 stops, and he looked pretty sharp, but the Penguins just really dominated the game, and he wasn't challenged. Game 5, they went down to Hershey, and I mentioned this going into the series. Could Jarry play playoff hockey in a tough environment, you know, and they were down 3-0, 20 minutes in that game 5, and he got pulled. So my question for Tristan Jarry is, I hope he's a young kid, you know, he had an outstanding rookie season, but I would be worried about his psyche because, you know, he got called up to Pittsburgh, he didn't play, kind of sat around, watched Casey DeSmith, a lot like Marc-Andre Fleury watched Matt Murray take his job, and then he got his shot, and he just he didn't capitalize on it. So going into next year, I think it's going to be very interesting to see just how Tristan Jarry handles himself in his second pro season. And from everything I've seen from him, I think he'll do outstanding. He's a good young guy, and he seems to have a great head on his shoulders, and he's obviously got the athleticism, and the organization, without a doubt, thinks highly of him. So But what I really wanted to touch on was the young guys. So many good young players coming up through the organization. It's really encouraging time to be a Penguins fan throughout the organization. You know the Sheerys, the Wilsons, the Russ, those guys, they're just starting out. They're only going to keep getting better. And now you have Sprong and Gensel. And Teddy Bluger was another one who came out. And, you know, then you got guys – you know, in the future who are still good prospects coming out of college, so, and even juniors. So Shiro did a pretty good job before he left of loading up on the talent, and now Rutherford's doing, you know, an outstanding job of really just filling in the pipeline, and hopefully when these veterans, you know, I'd love to see Matt Cullen come back to Pittsburgh for another year and maybe 2 years, whatever, but it's nice to know that you at least have some guys in your own system. You don't have to make trades or go out and pray that you can overpay for somebody on the free agent market. You've got talent in your own organization, and I think that was the biggest thing to take away from Wilkes-Barre's playoff run. They were a long shot to win the Cup. They made a good run, but the most important thing for me to take out of it was the young guys really, really proved that they're ready to play at the pro level. And I think, you know, Pittsburgh Penguin fans, Look out for those guys, Sprong, Rowney, Gensel. They're not far off. Trust me when I say.
No, and it does speak to the depth of this Pittsburgh Penguin organization and how they're going to be really, really good for many years to come, all the way up to the Pittsburgh Penguin National Hockey League level. This Penguin team is going to be a cup contender for many, many years to come. Crosby and Malkin's prime will not be ruined. They're going to continuously be a cup contender, whether it be with Still Fleury or whether it be Matt Murray. You have so much depth in the minor leagues you can eventually put up, and they're getting these critical games and playoff runs under their belt. It's going to mature them and make them better players from whenever they do get more consistent time in the National Hockey League or up at all to the NHL for those who have never been up there. And it's all going to be good for the whole organization, although none of that is what anybody wants to hear right now because this is the Pittsburgh Penguins time. This is the NHL Eastern Conference Finals, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this now you trailing a series with the defending champs of the conference 3-2 going on the road, losing an overtime game against a team that you feel like you were the favorite to beat and the game that you should have won and gave up a lead in to not win. So no one wants to hear about that now, but there are some positives for the offseason, but right now we're still in season. We're still in the playoffs, and the Penguins are not eliminated yet. 3-2 is the series lead for Tampa Bay going at home to Game 6. But, then again, if the Penguins win Game 6, which they very easily could, if they win Game 6, then they got Game 7, Continental Energy Center, maybe Shawn Michaels will come back, Garrett Cole, Fred Kiesel, you don't know. It'll be back to the same momentum, and we might be having a different program. Because if they win that game, they're going to have momentum on their side, they're going to have emotion on their side, they're going to probably have some stars play well better than they were in this game, they're going to hold a lead, your goaltender conversation won't be as prevalent, won't be as much of a debate, because that goaltender would have been coming off of a victory, whoever he is, and you'll then have Game 7 at home, and you'll break this losing streak that you've been on. If you lose, yep, that's your off season, and you're going on the golf course.
Before I go, I will say this. I think what this team has in front of them now, trailing 3-2 in the series, is they have their, you know, every championship team has that one back, you know, your back to the wall moment. You know, in 2009, they were down 2-0 to Washington. Letang scores that big OT goal, and that was kind of that moment, you know, where they grabbed it and they ran with it. I think you have that here, you know, and I think this has the leadership. They've got the coaching. They've like you said, everything's turned to gold. I don't think that's out of reach. I think this team more than capable of going down there, win one game, and like you said, rock console for Game 7. Anything can happen. I think we have either goaltender can play two solid games, and then you start over in the cup. But I think you have that one moment. You know, you finally have that moment now where, you know, you're going to have to earn it. Your back's against the wall, go earn it. And I think this team's capable. And I think they will, personally. I think they will.
There's reason for some optimism. There is. Penguins win that Game 6. So all momentum's going to be back on this side in Game 7, and then they're going to have another series to go if they would win that one, and it could be a series they're once again favored in. But right now, as we speak, it's getting to be a little dire for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the momentum they had and how much they were favored and what they got on paper and the stars they have does not matter when a team out-hustles you. Scotty Bowman said that for many, many years, that even though he won 3 cups as head coach of the Red Wings, he said before he retired he thought he should have won 6 because there was many postseason series with how good those teams were with all those Hall of Famers. They got out-hustled in series when they would either lose to Calgary or Nashville almost beat them. They were down 0-2 against Vancouver when they had that 0-2 team with 10 Hall of Famers. They almost lost that series. They should have done more, actually, than they did, and that sounds just crazy to think about, that they should have done more, but that's what he thought. So I will say this for sure. If the Penguins do not at least win this series, let alone the Cup, but if the Penguins don't beat Tampa Bay many, many years from now, we're going to be feeling that same way that Bowman felt about some of those Red Wing teams, that yes, there was success, but 2016 will be the missed Stanley Cup that we should have won, at minimum Stanley Cup final appearance that should have been. I'm sure that many will feel that way if they don't win this. They had a lead in this series. You're missing the best player on the opposing team, and you're facing a bunch of teams that haven't won before when you have some veteran players that have. So all signs are pointing to the Penguins, and right now they are not. So we will see. Jeff, thanks for joining me again. Thanks for finally providing the eulogy and wrapping up for Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And now it's all hands on deck for the Pittsburgh Penguins, the NHL, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we will see what happens. Only God knows. Only the hockey gods know the result already. But, Jeff, get some sleep. Thanks for joining me on the show, and talk to you again soon.
Mike, thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
Absolutely. Jeff Manchin of PensInitiative.com. Once again, got to speak to Bryce from Brooklyn. Hopefully he'll eventually follow me. Hasn't done so yet, but we got to find this guy somewhere besides just calling to the postgame show. I do have his number that I jotted down here and finally saved. So if not, I'll shoot him a text and try to maybe get him a T-shirt or something. Hopefully he doesn't mind. You think he'd rather do the communication on Twitter, but you're going to need to follow me to make that happen because I cannot in any way guess who Bryce from Brooklyn is. I maybe throw that up on Twitter. Hey, tweet me if you're Bryce from Brooklyn, but I'll probably get nothing back. So Bryce from Brooklyn, if you're out there, we played Biggie for you. You called in a few times. We talked hockey, even let you connect the NBA. Hit me up on Twitter. Follow me back. We got to get you a shirt. We got to make something happen for you. Jeff from Manchin from HesitantShirt.com. Got some articles for you. He's going to have a Wilkes-Barre Scranton, Baby Penguins eulogy, and off-season preview all for you on the written content at PennsylvaniaShift.com that he just provided here on air on the podcast with Radio PI. We also want you to go to PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. We cannot forget about our brother, sister, or cousin website that has all these this Penguin content, all this Penguin coverage on air and written from PennsylvaniaShift.com and Radio PI, but also gives you content for the Steelers in their offseason right now, and the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are fully in midseason. And I do promise that once we wrap up the Pittsburgh Penguins postseason run here through the Stanley Cup playoffs, wherever it will end, either as a champion or being eliminated in the conference final or Stanley Cup final, then maybe there'll be some podcast and on-air work for my Radio Gold and my vocal stylings touching on the Pirates and Steelers via Radio PI that I can put for Pittsburgh Sports Initiative, as I've done throughout the season. So many of those more professional interviews that I've done with media members and credentialed beat writers, there was even some talking about the Pirates and Steelers. So you can find that in the archive content of Pittsburgh Sports Initiative right now. Some of that can kind of a little bit still be evergreen, but it is all hands on deck for the Pittsburgh Penguins still as we speak, as they right now are still alive, but now it could be doomsday soon, trailing 3-2 in the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals after losing Game 5 in overtime. A game the Tampa Bay really, really did steal. Penguins got criticals. They had momentum. They had Shawn Michaels in the building. Tampa Bay, though, was swarming and flying early on, and they were able to use that hard work to get a comeback win after what it felt like the Penguins had a stranglehold on that lead, even going into the third period. So for Bryce from Brooklyn, our favorite caller here at the postgame show, for Jeff Romanchin of PennsylvaniaShift.com, our Wilkes-Barre Scranton insider, for everybody with the website of PennsylvaniaShift.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, this has been another edition of Radio Gold here, Stanley Cup Playoffs Radio Gold, NHL Eastern Conference Finals Game 5 postgame show, here on the Pens and Shiv Airways and the Radio PI Podcast Network. I was your host, Mike Osti. And the Penguins didn't deliver the Sweet Chin Music on the ice, but I delivered you the Sweet Chin Music on the microphone, so I think that deserves some Shawn Michaels Sweet Chin Music to close this.
No, I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really moves them. I said, chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I make them hot, I make them shiver, their knees get weak, whenever I'm around, they see me walk, they hear me talk, I make them feel, like they're on cloud nine, just a sexy boy, I'm not your boy toy. Your heart out, girls. Hands off the merchandise. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really moves them. I said, chill. Up and down there. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy, toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak whenever I'm
around. They see me walk, they hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. Just a sexy boy.